I've now got to welcome to you Christine Radwell, who works for a charity called Hearing Dogs for the Deaf. Is that right, Christine?
It's Hearing Dogs for Deaf People.
For deaf people,
yes.
Right. And how are you this morning? All right?
Oh, I'm fine.
Anyway, can you just tell me a little bit about it? I mean, I have no idea. We hear about guide dogs. We know that the blind have guide dogs to help them on their way. But for deaf people, it is quite a newish thing compared to guide dogs, is it? Am I right?
No, you're quite right. Hearing Dogs for Deaf People started in 1982.
Right.
It was a lady called Lady Beatrice Wright, whose mother was profoundly deaf.
Ah.
And she saw her isolating herself more and more, not wanting to go out in company, not wanting to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all because of her deafness.
Ah, right.
And she got together with her vet, who is, you know, Ben Fogel off the TV?
Yes, I know.
His father, Bruce Fogel, and the two of them went to visit hearing ear dogs in America.
Ah, so it's an American idea.
It was originally, yes, and they decided to bring it over to the UK and start hearing dogs for deaf people over here.
Uh-huh.
And hearing ear dogs in America helped them a lot. So... Mm-hmm. Over here, the charity was launched at Crufts in 1982.
All right.
With our first dog called Favour.
Oh, what kind of dog was... Is it a boy or a girl?
Favour was a boy.
A boy.
Like most of our dogs, 70% of our dogs come from rescue centres.
Oh.
We feel it's quite important to keep that level high because it gives the dog a chance of life as well.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And what? So you could get any kind of dog, or do you go for a particular breed?
Not a particular breed. They can be any breed, but we found in the past that certain breeds are much better than others. It tends to be the poodle, spaniel type, retriever, Labrador type, but they can be all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. Heinz 57, some of them.
I suppose it just depends on the mentality of the dog.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. We look for dogs that are friendly, willing to please, very good socially, and people orientated. So they want to be with people and they want to do the work.
So actually, taking them from a rescue situation, you don't know their history necessarily, do you? That must be quite difficult.
Well, this is why we do breed our own dogs. The people that choose our dogs for us are very highly trained, and they know what they're looking for. But we do find we get a much higher pass rate in the training on dogs we've bred ourselves.
Right,
We're a bit reluctant to breed because it's not a fantastically happy life of a brood bitch, but it makes such a difference to the training.
That did surprise me when you said that, because I have something to do with an organisation called Shack up in Alnwick. It's a dog sanctuary. You might not know it, so you might not have heard of it, but they're for large breed dogs. And the reason that they're in this sanctuary is because some of them have been abused, some of them have just been chucked out, and some of them are a little bit naughty. And they're all different. They've got about 50 dogs up there, but they're all different. And I just wonder, you know, if there would be any up there that would be good for hearing, but they make quite a lot of noise themselves. So, it's a nice idea that you do have that. It's not all just purebred dogs. It's a bit of a variety.
It's not at all.
And so obviously that's how it was set up, and it does sound like it came from a very specific area. And obviously, when you know, coming from America as well, it's good that they had that going already, and you could learn from that.
Yes, they were really good. They found sponsorship in America, so that some of their experts could come over and train our first experts.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. We were on a really good footing to start with. Yeah.
So you didn't have to just learn on the way. You had
we had expert help.
They must go through a lot of training. I mean, is it a year or two?
Much more than that, usually. Well, no, not much more. We take dogs from about 8 weeks old to 3 years maximum.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are puppies when they come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they do is go to puppy socialisers, who are volunteers that live around our two centres.
Mm-hmm. So where are the centres?
Well, our head office is in Buckinghamshire, but our northern centre is just southeast of York.
Oh, right.
So it's in Yorkshire.
Mm-hmm.
And the puppy socialisers I have the dogs for, well, up to a year.
Mm-hmm. That must be lovely, having them on.
Absolutely. You're getting the best time out of them, aren't you?
Yes, yes. And they're all volunteers, actually. Oh, right, yeah. But they have to live near the centres because they come in for puppy classes every week.
Yes.
But they teach them, well, basic obedience. But it's to get the dogs used to a social life with people and getting on and off of buses and trains and all the normal things you do in everyday life, so that, that we know whether the puppy is happy to adapt to that kind of thing. After the puppy socialising stage, they, which is usually the dogs are about 12 months to 14 months, depending on how they progress, then they come into the centre for the main training, and that can take 8, 15 weeks, something like that. It depends on the dog again. And at the end of that, they're introduced to their partner.
All right.
But while they're training there, they're trained specifically for one person. So to fit into that person's life.
So it might, that might depend on how old they are as well?
It might depend on how old they are. It might depend on whether they work. I mean, basically what I should say is what hearing dogs do.
Yes, we got straight into the dogs there, didn't
we? Yeah, we did. Well, the basic idea is that the dog will alert the deaf person to everyday sounds. Now that'll be the front door, the telephone, cooker timer, things like that. But if the person they're going to be partnered with is, say, a young mum, the dog will be trained to the baby monitor. If they work in an office where there's buzzers when new clients come in, they'll be trained to the buzzer.
So it's trained specifically.
Yes. And again, even in the ordinary socialising bit, like walking to heel, if the person they're going to is disabled, the dog will be specifically trained to walk next to a wheelchair someone with sticks. So it is quite specific.
Sort of technical and thought about, isn't it? It's not just just to be able to, even then, I suppose there's on guide dogs, there'll be some specifics, won't there, when if people are disabled as well.
Yes.
Do you have anything to do with the guide dogs?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you do?
There's about five charities that work with dogs that help humans.
Which other ones? I can't think of any.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to miss one. I know, I always miss one. Yeah. It's like naming the seven dwarfs. You always get one. Well, there's guide dogs, there's hearing dogs for the deaf, dogs for the disabled, canine companions, and I'm right. I can't remember what the fifth one is.
It'll come to you later.
But these form an overriding group. But what they, none of these charities can afford money to put into this umbrella group. But what they all do is put in expertise to work towards getting access for the dogs and their partners to all public spaces.
Ah, I see.
So that you won't get people stopped from coming into a shopping centre or a restaurant if they have an assistance dog.
That was the
umbrella. Assistance dogs. Yes. So anybody with an assistance dog can get access to wherever they need
to. So that's how they work together to make more acknowledged and
In accordance with the Disability Act.
Yeah, I suppose.
People should be allowed to go into anywhere, but it's often not understood.
So they could get pushed out if they don't. If people don't recognise them, so
yes, we've had that happen.
So that's when you say you match the people with their owner. That must mean that the or their companion.
Well, you would hope so. But basically, what they need to do is go onto the website, and you can apply online.
Right. So it's
you don't have to be referred to us through a medical advisor. We will, in the course of accepting you, seek a medical report to check that you would benefit, you know, you're sufficiently deaf and that you would benefit from a hearing dog. But basically you can apply directly through the website.
And obviously you, from your point of view, as an individual, you're a volunteer, are you?
I am,
you work,
yes.
You're sort of volunteer. And how much of your time does that take?
Oh, at the moment it doesn't take that much, really. About once a month I will give a talk, half an hour, 40 minutes, to, say, a WI church group, maybe some brownies or something like that, to spread the word and hopefully get a little bit of a donation, because money is always tight.
You're always looking for it.
And my volunteers is what we're desperate for at the moment. People to go out and give talks like this, or people to coordinate talks, or maybe people to look after collection boxes within shops and businesses and things like that.
Yeah. And in the area of Northumberland, do you have many dogs that partner people locally?
That's a hard question for me to answer, I must admit. I don't know the answer to that one. Mm-hmm. The lady who looks after all the volunteers would know.
Oh, yes, the lady that spoke
but
to.
I know in the course of my volunteering, I've met about four or five, mm-hmm. so there must be more partnerships mm-hmm. than that up in the northeast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you don't see many, even up with guide dogs, you don't see many people them, do you?
No.
And that's... you know, that makes you wonder if the hearing, you know, that obviously that's more obvious.
Yes, yeah. I suppose, all right, it's a population thing as well. There's not a lot of people out in the rural areas of Northumberland, so you wouldn't come across them as much as you would if you lived in the middle of a city, I suppose.
Probably not. So there could be, they could spend a lot of time in the home.
Yes.
In the homes with the people rather than being.
Although, I mean... As I said, what we do is train the dogs to alert the deaf person to everyday sounds. Uh-huh. But the side benefits just are enormous. Uh-huh. The raise in confidence uh-huh. and the ability to go out and socialise, to go to the shops without being frightened that somebody will try and have a conversation with you and not understand you're deaf. Right. Or people will think you're ignorant because you don't reply to them.
Yeah.
Just having the little dog with them mm-hmm. with a smart maroon jacket on, mm-hmm. people realise you're deaf, mm-hmm. take the time and trouble to always face you when they talk and mm-hmm. to speak clearly. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference to deaf people's lives.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they do go out and socialise a bit more.
Uh-huh, yeah. So it takes them out of themselves a bit.
Yes, yeah.
And was there any reason why you got it involved?
Well, I started to learn sign language, and so I joined a deaf club. I am partly deaf myself, not enough to get a dog, unfortunately.
Have you got your own dog anyway?
No, I would love to have one. but I met up with some partnerships that way and mm-hmm. got involved with the charity through that.
Yeah, there's usually a link, isn't
there? Yes, there is.
There's usually a link.
It's usually a sort of personal connection somewhere, isn't there? Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. And with the sign language, are you quite proficient?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It depends on your standards.
Yeah, but can you communicate?
I have level 2, which puts me, I believe, according to deaf people, about an 8-year-old's vocabulary. So I can have general conversations. I can't get technical.
Yeah, but an 8-year-old can communicate.
Quite well.
No, yes. Even a 4-year-old can.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
I'll ask you about that later, because it's something that I've quite fancied to do, but... My children would say that's just you want to lip read so you can listen to people. No, that's not the reason. And obviously, people who are deaf aren't going to be listening to this.
No.
This is sad, isn't
that
it?
Is
that
sad.
They're missing out on this kind of thing.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, the official figures from Action on Hearing Loss, the new name for RNID, is... that 1 in 7 people will suffer hearing loss or deafness in their lifetime.
Really?
And they're thinking of reducing that to 1 in 5.
Yeah.
So although deaf people can't hear this, I bet that almost everybody listening knows somebody who has hearing problems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to pass the information on to them is mm-hmm. a brilliant way of spreading the word.
I suppose with deafness as well, it can be something that doesn't just happen quickly. It can be as you get older.
It's very much a mix. Uh-huh. Some people, after an accident or a viral illness, can mm. suddenly go profoundly deaf.
Oh, yeah.
But as 99% of people, as they get older, will have some hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I suppose with that hearing loss, what you were saying about people becoming withdrawn and not wanting to go out,
That's right.
Does stop them. So there's possibly a way out for people if they had a dog. Or
it does
whatever.
Make a huge difference mm-hmm. in people's lives.
Yeah.
And since 2008, we've been training team dogs that work with children between 12 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference that makes is huge. Uh-huh. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, but they have some fun.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. It's a bit harder to train the dogs because they have to work for two people.
Oh,
it's usually the child and a responsible adult, which is normally the parent.
Yeah.
So the dog has to learn a few new skills in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But they carry messages backwards and forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a dual effect. It gives the child a constant feeling that somebody's there looking after them.
Mm-hmm.
I know the parents do that all the time, but sometimes the parents are busy, but the dog is always there, even at night.
Oh.
When often these children take out their hearing aids and can't hear anything, don't know if they've been left alone, don't know anything.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But just being able to put their hand down, feel the dog, they know, yeah, somebody's there. But also, the child then takes responsibility for the dog.
Yes.
And that boosts their confidence as well. Just
so they look after each other in some
respects. That's right. They mm-hmm. they definitely become a partnership. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely way of thinking about it. And it's, you know, it's I had no idea how it worked. And just one thing, you know, getting back to the dog and its training, do dogs ever not respond? Do they have to go back somewhere else? Do they just get rehomed?
Well, we do get our fallen angels, as we call them.
Ones that really not do it.
But we have a huge waiting list for people that want to take on the fallen angels.
Really?
Well, when you think about it, these are well-trained social animals. They've been picked for wanting to be with people and loving being around people.
Mm-hmm.
So they make absolutely fabulous pets.
Uh-huh.
Very occasionally they will go back to a breeder or a home, but mm-hmm. only if that home has somebody specific in mind for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We always look after them. We actually go through a vetting process and things for the dogs going off. The welfare of the dogs is
paramount.
Yes, paramount.
Yeah.
So.
And they do a lot of good work. You can't just just leave them.
No.
It just wouldn't happen, would it? Right, just sort of to round up here, is there anything else you want to tell us? Have you got any talks coming up that people might know about?
No, the next talk I've got is next February, actually, and it's mm-hmm. to a small group, so that it's not something
not
I think the public
group.
Can
yeah.
know, unfortunately.
But if people wanted to find out about the hearing hearing dogs for deaf people, get that right. Is there a website that could go on to?
There is.
It's
hearingdogs.org.uk.
Okay.
And you can go on there if you're interested in just finding out more.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on if you want to apply for a hearing dog.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many ways in which you can volunteer, even on a one-off basis. If it's a sponsorship, we have a current scheme going called Santa Paws, where you can do a one-off thing, whether it's a sponsored dog walk or mm-hmm. a coffee morning or anything to help raise funds. That much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also quite a bit about sponsoring puppies on the website. But there's lots of interesting things to read there anyway, even if you just want to find out more.
Yeah. So you can donate. Did you say you can donate?
Yes.
So people
absolutely.
Can actually give some money if they just don't want to do the sponsor bit, they don't want to jump out of an aeroplane or something, they just want to give a little bit of money in a time.
Yes, that. Yeah.
I mean, it must be an expensive expensive thing altogether. Have you got about 1,600 dogs, I read somewhere?
Yes, it can cost as much as £45,000 for a dog across its lifetime through training and maintaining the welfare of the dog and things. It's surprisingly expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, because, we never sort of abandon the partnership or mm-hmm. anything, and we'll give full training to both sides of the mm-hmm. partnership, so they're both happy.
Yeah. Do you ever find that the people can't get on with dogs? Does that ever happen?
I would imagine it possibly has. I have never, ever come across it. No.
The individual would have thought, work to it, wouldn't they?
Yes.
It might be the dog
absolutely.
That might, but it could be the owner as well, couldn't it? It could be the other part, the actual human partner that might fail a bit, but I've no doubt there's ways of tackling that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Because everybody wants it to work. But anyway, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. It's been interesting and enlightening, because, as I say, I didn't know anything about it. And if they do want to make contact, if they want you to give us a talk, perhaps, would you do that to a group?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely possible. What they need to do, because even if somebody's listening who's perhaps not in my area that mm-hmm. I cover, if you email Lynn Lana,
mm-hmm.
at hearingdogs.org.uk,
mm-hmm.
she will organise talks anywhere abouts. Yes.
So
if you want to volunteer in the northeast, that's the person to contact, although you can just volunteer generally,
mm-hmm.
and your details will get through to Lynn.
Okay. And if anybody's listening that didn't get that information or whatever, just get in touch with Lionheart Radio and we'll put you onto the right person.
That's lovely. Thank you very much for inviting me to talk here. And it's
You're
been
welcome.
Really lovely talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks.